welcome to church. A special welcome to those who are visiting us today or listening online. It's always nice to see new people arrive. My name is Diane, and helping me in today's service are our musicians, Sam on the keyboard, Rosemary with guitar and voice. Welcome back. Young Lan and Trevor. And reading to us from the Bible will be Roy. Leading us in prayer is Fiona, and Trevor will bring our Bible teaching. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Today's service teaching is going to continue our Jesus Cared When Forgiveness Seems Undeserving, which sounds a bit challenging. Would you like to tell me about that?
Yeah, just a little bit. We bring our sermon series to a close on today with regards to the When Caring Seems Wrong, little discourses that Jesus had with people. And today we're dealing with those guys who brought a woman caught in adultery to Jesus. And it's really quite a challenging look at into our own lives about pointing the finger at people, you know, and realising that there are three fingers always pointing back at us, you know, at that time. So that's today. Oh, yep. Cool. Yep.
Lovely. Thank you. This month our mission focus is continuing with our reaching our local community, and there's quite a wide range of things that go on, not just in our own church but through Anglicare as well. We have a play group every Wednesday. We have scripture on Tuesday in two of our local schools. We have the kindergarten next door, who would normally have a Bible teaching session, which will resume next year, I think. Yeah. We have Trevor, particularly, will do visits, and along with a few of our congregation, will visit people. We have Bible studies, both at church and in people's homes, and church at Bayswater Gardens and Chiswick Manor. And then, of course, we have our friends and neighbours that we run into and chat to, and just serve them, I suppose, with our love. So that's the local stuff. And then, of course, we have Anglicare Prison Chaplaincy as our focus for this month. Our sentence of scripture set for today is, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." Let's stand and sing our first song, 10,000 Reasons.
Jesus.
take a moment to greet those people near you who you might not have had a chance to catch up with yet. And the children will now leave for Kids Church.
Lord, with you, Diane.
And also with you.
Lord, be with you.
Yes,
be
with you.
Lord, with you, Samuel.
Thank you. Thank you, yes, please be seated. Let's praise God together with these words. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 2 to 11. Please open your Bibles to page 1072 or follow along on the screen or on the handout in your news and notes.
Today's reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, beginning at the second verse. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. For those listening in or new or visiting us today, my name is Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. Before we start, we're going to play a little game. We're going to see who's the oldest in the congregation. Now, some of you may not particularly like to do this, but I do hope that you will. All right. So, anyone who's over the age of 10, please put your hand up. Well done. Oh, good. All right. Anyone over the age of 20, put your hands up. Great. Anyone over the age of 30, put your hands up. Okay. Anyone over the age of 40, put your hand up. Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Anyone over the age of 50, put your hand up. Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Anyone over the age of, have I said 50 already? Oh, okay. See? 60. All right. Yes. Put your hand up. All right. Good. All right. Anyone over the age of 65? No, oh, that's not me. That's it. All right. Anyone over the age of 70? Over the age of 75? Over the age of 80? All right. Over the age of 85? Over the age of 80? Under the age of 90? No, over the age of 90. Ooh, okay. 86. Anyone 86? 87? 88? 89? All right, we've got 88, I think. 89? 90? Have we got a 90? Dick, you 90, Dick? No, not yet. More, 91? 92? 91. Oh, wonderful. All right. Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 8, and we're looking at verses 2 through to 11. Again, it's a type of Bible study teaching time like we did last week together. You'll be able to find the handout printed, the words of the Bible in your bulletin as well if you've not got a Bible in front of you, but I encourage you to open up your Bibles if you can, and I think it's on page 1072. Thanks, Diane. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you don't leave us with just having to work up ideas about who you are. In the past, you spoke in many and various ways through your prophets to our forefathers, and they wrote it down in your scriptures. In these past days, or in these last days, you became one of us. Your word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Those who were with him, your son Jesus, saw and heard and wrote what he spoke and what he taught, that we in generations to come might know your word, might know who you are through the revelation of your word given. For in these last days, you've spoken once and for all through your Son, Jesus. Help me now to teach your word correctly. May we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, chapter 8, as you can see there in your Bibles, there is scholars actually don't include these verses actually in the Bible, and that's another story for itself. But a good number do, and it's there, and there's undecided, so it's been included in the Bibles that are printed of late and down since early times. But it sits in chapter 8, logically, sits within the context of chapter 7 and chapter 9 of John's Gospel. And Jesus is teaching in the temple courts in Jerusalem, and he's gone to Jerusalem because it's the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the Feast of the Tabernacles is a time when it's one of the three great pilgrimages of which the male Jew would travel to Jerusalem and celebrate. It's the remembering of the harvest. It's in their autumn time, it's our springtime, around September time, and Jews remember it today. But it's a time where they remember the harvest and God bringing in his good provisions and bringing in the harvest. And it's also a time when they would also think about the light
of the Messiah actually coming and being the light to the Gentiles around about. And so there were symbolic things that they did in the temple to do this. And, for example, shine a light through the temple courts. And it's interesting, and put water into the temple. And it's interesting in the context of these two chapters, 7 and 9, Jesus refers to himself as the light of the world and also as the water, the thirst, as they look forward to the one who would bring that living water of satisfaction. So it's in the context of this, that this little story here between Jesus and an encounter with some Jewish men and a woman caught in adultery, that this little story is actually placed into the context of it, because it speaks of the Messiah being the one who brings forgiveness. And that's the greatest way that brings light and brings hope and meaning and forgiveness in the Messiah, in Christ himself. And that's, again, the reason why it's here. But the question we're going to be asking is that we see there in verse 2, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts where all the people are gathered around him. So there's lots of people gathered around, and he sat down to teach them. I wonder what he would have been teaching them at this time. We're not actually told, but in the context of these verses, but in the context of 7 and 9, he's teaching in the light of the law. He's actually applying the law, God's law, to how to live it and to himself in that context there. He's sitting down, he's teaching the people, there's lots of people gathered around. It's not just a private little gathering, there's lots of people. And it's into this that we see the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the group. And he said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" And the reason why they said this question to Jesus is that they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. So right from the very beginning, like with last week here, we see the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, wanting to actually question the authenticity of Jesus and his audacity to preach as one who has authority to forgive and as the one who comes with authority to bring the words of God to people. But what I find very, very interesting here, and I don't know if you've picked it up here in these first verses here, is that they bring a woman, just the woman, caught in adultery. Where's the man? Where's the man? All right? So, as you know from the scriptures here, the scriptures actually say, from the Torah, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbour, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. Both the man and the woman are to be put to death. So the question is, where is the man? Was he too fast to catch him and bring him here? Maybe let's give them the benefit of the doubt, say that's the case. Or is it a setup for getting this woman and another man to be caught in this, so they've got something to accuse to Jesus? Or they just couldn't be bothered to bring the man along, but they thought they'd bring the woman along. So you're getting the picture here from me. What I'm trying to say here is that, and from what we pick here, is that these men who have brought this woman to Jesus to trick him, to see how good Jesus is, really, right from the very start, aren't of the best character themselves, are they, at this point here? And just the thought of bringing the woman into the midst of the whole of the crowd and putting her in that embarrassing situation. I don't really particularly like these men, all right, and in what they've done here. I don't think there's any sense in which they are seeking to obey the law in any way. They're trying to test Jesus and trick him. There's something about these men. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Ring any bells? Ring any bells? When the Lord finished speaking to Moses, when he gave the law,
he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the Ten Commandments, and the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. I think our Lord Jesus was there writing on the temple court floors, remembering when he and the Father gave the Ten Commandments. Do not commit adultery. Thou shalt bear no false witness against thy neighbour. Writing on the ground. Remembering the law. Remembering what was expected of them. Of all God's people. And when they kept on, verse 7, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. What a challenging little moment there to say to these men and to the crowd listening in, how many fingers are pointing at you when you point the finger at somebody else? There's always three pointing back. You who without sin cast the first stone. At this, those, verse 9, heard, began to go away one at a time, the older ones first. I gather because the older ones not only had lived longer and knew the weight of their life, but also had greater wisdom than maybe the younger ones. He stooped down. They began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. I wonder why Jesus stayed there. Because he was without sin, isn't he? For we do not have a high priest, writes the writer of Hebrews, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. So Christ was sacrificed to take away the sins of many. Jesus remained. The one without sin now, who could condemn her and keep the law and say, I will pick up a stone and I will stone you, says to the woman, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And the question there is expecting an answer, why not? All right, in the Greek, it's expecting a why not answer, knowing that the law has been broken, could have been broken, and most likely, well, we don't know. We don't know the context of the whole thing, but it is expecting why has no one condemned you? And Jesus then says, well, no one, sir, says the woman. She said, then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Why is that so? It's because the one who was without sin took on sin on the cross and took death in the place of the woman, in the place of the men, in the place of the crowd, and in the place of you and me. If we claim then to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins because of Jesus and his completed work in his life and death and resurrection and ascension, he forgives us our sins and he purifies us from all unrighteousness. And he says to this woman, go now and sin no more. go leave your life of sin. Put that aside. Live for Jesus. Live for Christ. Live for God. And it's the same for us. How do we apply this in a practical way? Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. It's okay to judge, but it's how you judge. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, Trevor, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How could you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I think this is what we're being taught from this application of Jesus' encounter with the men, the woman caught in adultery, and the crowd gathered around his disciples nearby. And what about in the life of the church and amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, Paul writes to the church in Colossae and says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, remember, made in the image now to be like Christ to each other, holy, set apart to be God's people, dearly loved by God, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against anyone, someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I like this little image here. The couple, or the individuals sitting on the lounge chair, who's going to go first, all right? Who's going to say sorry first? Who's going to say, I was wrong, please forgive me? He who is without sin, cast the first stone. May the stone be a reminder to us always to take the log out of our own eye before we take the speck out of our brother's. Quick to listen, so to speak, to be bearing with one another and forgiving one another as God on the basis has forgiven us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this little story has been included in the scriptures here in this little part of John's Gospel for us to read and to remind us of your work, Jesus, in forgiving our sins. That as you taught your disciples and teach us to pray, forgive us our sins on the basis that we forgive those who sin against us. Lord, if a sister or a brother comes to us and ask for forgiveness, Lord, grant us not a grudging spirit, a revengeful heart, but a willingness to forgive and to welcome and to encourage. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing again. This is our new song that we learnt last week. Rosemary's got a voice this morning, and kind of, sort of, and lead us in this one again. Sister, let me wipe your tears. Brother, let me bear your fears. Come on, every daughter, every son, let us walk in love, for we are one.
Your feet.
Please remain standing as we say together what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Fiona will now continue in prayer.
Heavenly Father, on a world front, we praise and thank you for the four surviving children after the plane crash in the Amazon jungle 40 days ago. Thank you for your mercy. We ask for comfort for the friends and families of 14 people who died in the Kazakhstan forest fires. We pray for wisdom for Ukraine's President Zelensky, in how best to lead his people in defending their country and freedom. We give thanks for King Charles and the many ways he strives for peace and unity within the Commonwealth. We long for healing within his own family. May they all have a deep desire to love you more deeply and choose to live your way. For fellow Aussies, we pray for many struggling because of interest rate increases, energy, food, and cost of living forever soaring. May these people not just be viewed as the necessary sacrificial lamb. Enable us to share your resources fairly and love all people. For Catherine Folbig, we pray for the media to give her some space, and for a deep healing in her heart. Finally, with ongoing COVID-19 challenges, please help us be vigilant in self-care and thoughtful in care for others around us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For the Church Universal, Lord, we long that you would raise up leaders who are people of prayer, who walk very closely with you. May they feel the weight and glory of eternal reality, even in the midst of mundane ministry activities which need to be done. May they provide to others, by their very presence, a constant life-giving reorientation toward our infinite God. Father, please enable our ministers to stay alive to what is great and glorious and beautiful and eternal. May they think hard over your words, and in your generosity, may you give them understanding. Enable your ministers to continue building up the body of Christ with all gentleness and humility. May ministers and churches be a blessing to the community which we are a part of, and so bring great glory to your name. May believers be joined to Christ and be built together to become a dwelling where you live by your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we pray for local outreach. Please help members of St Andrew's to be intentional, and may those involved with playgroup, kindy visits, scripture, Bayswater Garden and Chiswick Manor visits spread the aroma of Christ and live your way winsomely. We pray, Father, for Anglicare prison chaplains as they straddle two different organisations, Corrective Services and Anglicare. Help them juggle this balance well. We pray, Lord, that they would be wise and kind in how they relate to prisoners, officers and visitors. That you would help them keep a good work-life balance, and that they would be open to Kairos Inside programs supporting them in their ministry. May they continue to walk closely with you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And a prayer for balanced lives. God of holiness, save us from everything that distracts or debases our longing for truth, beauty, and goodness. God of wholeness, restore a balance to our pressured, lopsided lives. May eyes trained for video screens and traffic lights have time to delight in pygmy possums and banksia blossoms. May ears force-fed with sensational news and loud music find pleasure in the rippling of creeks and the songs of blue wrens. May noses flooded with exhaust and industrial fumes savour again the scent of wild boronia or a salty sea breeze. May hands addicted to the touch of credit cards and ATMs find release in the clasp of a child or the passing of peace. May minds bruised with information overload be open to the gospel parables and the plight of the needy. May appetites pampered with wine or sated with junk food be renewed by the bread of life and the cup of salvation. God of holiness, God of wholeness, through the simple gifts of your creation, restore our balance. And through the grace of Christ Jesus, heal us all for your name's sake. Amen. Please join with me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for unity and peace. All-powerful and ever-living God, help us respond to your love that is within us, that what we do in the name of your Son may lead all people to unity and peace. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
And we have some information that we need to share with you today. Rosemary's just going to come up and share a little bit, last chance, I think, for the EQUIP conference.
It's not too late to register for the EQUIP conference, which is next Saturday. So if you want to come along, if you want to take part in that, you need to register online. and the information's on the back table. But all those who are already registered, if you could just meet with me at the back of the church after the service, that'd be great. Thank you.
And on Saturday the 1st of July, which is coming around very quickly, men are invited to join for a day or a morning of lawn bowls. So I think the last time there was a lot of fun had. We saw the photo there on the top of the screen. So you're most welcome to join in. If there's also, again, a sheet at the back that you can sign up for, men, and bring along a friend if you'd like. So have a good day with each other at that.
I hear your voices, ladies, too, that you want to go lawn bowling with us as well one day. So we might be gate-crashed, guys, on that day. But we certainly will do one in the future. Yeah, that's right. At the back of the church on the mission table is the latest Voices of Martyrs, the Voice of Martyrs magazine, which just, again, as Fiona has prayed, it just widens our mind and our prayer life to our brothers and sisters in Christ in parts of the world where they do not have the freedom as we do. So it's good to be able to know how to pray and what to be encouraged by what's going on in other parts of the world. We know the Pharisees. They're our link missionaries with BCA in Western Australia and Kununurra. But the latest winter prayer notes have come out, and the latest BCA news about what's happening in that part. For Bush, BCA is the Bush Church Aid Society. It's placing clergy and church workers into remote parts of Australia where dioceses can't actually afford to put somebody into that space. There's those copies of those on the mission table as well. Thanks.
And again, thank you for regularly financially supporting Abbotsford Anglican Church, either online or via the offertory box at the back of the church. Much appreciated. Now, if you would like prayer after the service, please come to the front. We've got some chairs with cushions on them already. Dick and Barbara will be happy to pray for you today. And after church, please stay for morning tea. We've been blessed by a lovely sunny day today, so you've got your warm outer layers, and remain distanced for COVID safety. Okay, as we prepare to leave, let's stand and sing our final song. It's Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Amazing grace.
Of our sentence of scripture for today, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Together, Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.